parent of one of the young guys that I had the privilege of walking a little bit of a journey with sent me a message and told me, hey, I want you to know that my son is turning 21 and I know you're not going to be able to come, but I just want to invite you anyways because it's quite a far drive. But would you just send him a little video to say happy birthday to him? But now I know this guy. And then I went quickly to Kyle because he also know him and he also has walked with him. And I told him, bro, why don't we just get in the car and go drive to this guy and celebrate his 21st. 5.5 hours drive there, 5.5 hours back. And I can tell you today, I would never be able to do this if I know that this is this guy's cousin's 21st. I wouldn't even have sent the video. But because I know the person and I see the value of my relationship with him, I thought driving this amount of hours just for a young guy that has had a season in Cornerstone and we now get to go just be with him for a few hours. The next morning we got in the car and drove back. You know why? Because I know the birthday boy and I would do it for the sake of celebrating such a significant moment in his life. We get to celebrate Jesus today. And tomorrow we're going to wake up and open all of our presents or whatever it is that your family does. And you get to say, I get to celebrate Jesus because I know him. Please go with me to Ephesians 2. And I'm going to read Ephesians 2 from verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. I want to read this verse again. And I really sense some of you in this room this morning need to hear this very verse. It's by grace you have been saved, or you will be saved this morning through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's his gift. Verse 9 says, not a result of works so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is what excites me. God created you and me for a very purpose that we get to live on this earth. For a work that he has got for us. I'm not just living and I don't want to just make it until my earthly body dies. I don't want to tolerate every day of my life thinking that maybe one day God is going to show me a purpose. A lot of you guys know that I got a season of needing to leave my family here and then went to be 8.5 weeks completely away from everything. And I knew in my heart, God is not testing me. God is not punishing me. I knew that God is still sovereign. God is the one that shows me the way. God is the one that speaks to me. And I had moments of feeling like I'm weak and I needed God because I actually can't really fight some of these fights on my own. But I can stand here with full confidence in telling you, if it was not for Jesus, I wouldn't be back here. If it was not for him, I wouldn't stand on the faith of the things God spoke to me in that time. And I knew that this season in Egypt was a stepping stone for the next. And I had a surety in my heart, God, you are working things out in my life for me to get to be part of the plan that you have on this earth. And man, I was surprised. I had opportunities to preach in churches. I had opportunities to reach out to people that have left church so long ago and have left everyone to do with church. And somehow they had the grace to sit and talk to me. And I got to see the beauty of what God does in moments that I, from the outside, saw as a struggle. The scripture highlights a few things. It starts with this, but God. You know all of these things, but you need to know also something. When God looks at your life, he does not consider the circumstances as much as he considers you. And he says, that's what I speak over your life. He's rich in mercy. And even when we were dead, he is the one that made you and I alive. It's not the new trend, and it's not what I feel, and it's not any of the things that we face with our life, but actually he made you and I alive, get to see something different, get to feel something different, get to live something different because of what he's done. And it's by grace, and it's not a result of yours or my work. So I want to also speak to you, Christian, who knows Jesus, who loves Jesus, who knows the birthday man, who thinks that because you've served last week and given people food on the side of the road that you feel like you deserve a bit more, and now you feel like you can celebrate Christmas with no guilt. I'm telling you, go back to your place. You have been saved by his grace, not by your works. And no, it's only by his grace you and I can live knowing that God, you're on the throne, and I'm going to do the works you've called me to do because of the process of sanctification that I get to partner with Jesus in what he's called me to live. In the beginning of this chapter, it says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility. Now, this is how. Because sometimes I think like, no, God called me to be his disciple, so now I'm there and the rest of the world is there. But actually, the Bible teaches us, how do I do that? With all humility and gentleness, with patience. Yo, I don't like that one. Bearing with one another in love. And it's not tolerating one another in love, it's actually bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's challenging, hey? Because I can sit and argue with you many, many, many things of why not. But Jesus did not come and tell us, tell me why, all of your why nots, and then I'll tell you what it is. But Jesus said, actually, you've heard, but I come and tell you about the kingdom of God, regardless of what you think or feel or can do about it. This is the kingdom of God. And that's how we should live, with all humility, with gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work that out from a place of humility, like in Ephesians says. Work it out before God and say, God, I know that. Do you know what's nice about our relationship with Jesus, which is so different to the rest of the world? I grew up in a family that my four grandparents grew up in an orphanage. And I'm a result of not the second generation, but the third generation of faithfulness of people that have looked after orphans. And one thing I've noticed about a lot of the kids in that orphanage became my friends. They became my best friends because we would go spend all of our summer holiday at the orphanage. And I didn't really have a lot of connection with a lot of my school friends. So those became my family and my friends. And I even got to a point in telling my parents, I don't want to go home with you. I want to bunk with all of my mates. And they don't have rules, but you have rules for me. I don't want to go back home. Little did I know at the time. And one of the main things that I got to be part of all of these conversations is that these guys, including my grandparents, did not feel like, now it's done, I've been adopted or I've been looked after, so now there is the redemption and I work forward. They've kind of held where they came from and what they've gone through as something above their head for the rest of their life. Jesus does not do that with us. He does not look at us and he's like, you David sinner, come here. I'll just give you a hug today because you feel like you need a hug. You David sinner, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to preach. He doesn't do that. He says, actually, you've changed from that to my son. Come here. Sit on my lap. I'll tell you things. I'll talk to you. I'll partner with you. I actually trust you enough Even in your old sin, now you don't live in that sin, and I trust you to call you to build my kingdom on this earth. That's what Jesus does for you and me. That's the process of you and me getting molded like this piece of Play-Doh to become more like Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you guys can go there with me, please. First Corinthians 3, verse 11, it says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." Yours and my assurance in us knowing that we're justified in Jesus and get to live this time of our salvation in being sanctified until one day we are glorified with him. We need to know that we're building on Jesus. We need to be assured with everything in our heart that our motive is nothing other than I want to build everything and anything on Jesus Christ. In my love for people, in my service, in my anything. I go on outreaches, I'm building that on Jesus. I'm helping the poor, I'm building that on Jesus. I'm preaching the gospel, I'm building that on Jesus. I'm telling others about Jesus. I'm not telling them that I'm saved and you're not. Now let me show you the way, because you actually are going to die. I used to do that to my friends back at home at school. I used to tease them and tell them, you are going to die. You know that. Until the Holy Spirit told me, this is not how Jesus lives. You're building this on your own arrogance and your own pride and thinking that you know better than everyone around you. Sanctification is working out and not for our salvation. It's working out our salvation. I'm not working for my salvation. I know that some of us this morning are going to walk out of this place free than you've ever felt in your whole entire life. Because I know the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And I know that God is doing what only He can do. And you and I realizing that Jesus has done the work. And I get to walk free every single day of my life because I'm working out my salvation. And guess what? Will we still get faced with temptation and sin and disappointments and impatience while we're driving or while we're doing whatever? Yes, we are. Because we are still in this world. Why? Because God still wants us to do some work in this sinful world. And I get to still get be faced by all of these things. And if other things in our life take Jesus' place on the throne, you need to know that one day you're going to stand before the Father and it's going to get tested. And if it's not built on Jesus, it's going to fall away. That's what the scripture says. If we do not understand justification, then we are in a very dangerous place working out our salvation. If you do not understand the extent of what Jesus has done on the cross, and that was your motive in giving your life to Jesus, if today you do not understand the fact that you and I were sinners, and we are sinners, and we do need Jesus to be saved, we believe in Him, and the Bible says there is no way to the Father other than through me, Jesus Christ, then I'm in a very dangerous place trying to work out what this whole Christianity is about. I had an argument not so long ago, more of a debate with someone that was trying to convince me that actually it is good and it's healthy to have a relationship with Jesus without the Bible. Then at least you get to figure out Jesus yourself. And it kept me thinking that, you know, if one day I'm building my relationship with Jesus without the Word, which the Bible says that Jesus is the Word was with God, the Word was God, He is the Word. And if I don't believe in that and I want to build my Christianity on something different, my relationship with God on something, on just the relationship, then I don't know if you're actually a Christian. Understanding the extent of what the Word does to my relationship with God, you cannot do it without it. You know why? Because maybe one day you get angry with someone that just tuned you about something. And then in your heart you're like, Jesus, just take this revenge for me because I honestly will go clap that guy. And the guy walks out of the venue, gets in their car, gets hit by a truck, dies, and you're like, yo, God, you are my revenge taker. And you can't argue with me because my experience tells me that this is who Jesus is. You know who corrects me? The Word. Tells me, actually, David, go back to your place. This is not Jesus Christ that the Word speaks about. Because I can argue it with my experience, just the same as you and I are faced with the world telling us, your experience is telling you, this is who God is, this is what Christianity is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without the Word, it's impossible to know God. The process of sanctification, it leaves us with an incredible reward. And part of it is internal, part of it is external. And the internal reward is that I find myself full of faith. In 2 Peter verse 1, it says this, that these are some of the attributes that I find myself finding in my heart take place. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love, and it carries on. These are some of the things that you and I know that if I try to keep squeezing myself and trying to do it every day without a change of heart, it's not going to happen. I can't try to force myself to love someone. Something needs to change in my heart to love that person. Would you agree with me? I can't all of a sudden find myself patient and steadfast in the way that I do things. It has to be a change from the inside of my heart, which the Holy Spirit can do in you and me. Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Sometimes I stand before God and say, but some stuff I can really grumble about, God. Like, surely you understand. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, amongst whom you shine as light in the world. What we heard earlier with the kid's story is the world does not understand the light that Jesus brings here. And yes, we are going to get faced with moments of finding that this candle went and then I see it get lit up again. When I read the scripture, I picture us as a church, the bride, standing with the most beautiful, bright, white dress in the middle of a manky, muddy ground, but the splashes don't stick on us. But the tears that should be with the thorns that are around us doesn't hook onto our dress. You know why? Because He's the one that keeps us like that. He's the one that made us like that in the first place, and He's the one that keeps us like that in this world. And in Ephesians 4, it says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. And these are the things that we find take place in our hearts, like I read in the beginning, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Some of the external things that you and I get to witness in our relationship with God is that we see ourselves making decisions according our knowledge and our faith that I do not need to lay treasures on this earth. Everything changes. My value system changes. The way that I spend my time, my effort, my resources changes completely. Why? Because actually my heart is not longing to be this successful man in the world's eyes, but I want to do it God's way. I want to be successful in His kingdom. So all of those things become tools that God uses in His kingdom, in my process of getting to know Jesus and becoming more like Jesus. And I get to witness that all of these material things are just material things. And many of us might find ourselves struggle with that because you've worked very hard for these things. You've worked very hard to become a very successful speaker in front of people, or a very successful business person, or a very successful nurse or teacher, or whatever it is that we are all involved with. But imagine that my value system changes completely. In my decision making, I'm going to be integrous in what I'm doing, not because my boss has a camera over my desk. I'm doing it because I want to become more like Jesus. And that's my part, my decision making every single day, to say no to the things of the world and to say yes to the things of Jesus. In Mark 10, verse 28, Peter began to say to Jesus, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold. Now, in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Yo, that gives me hope. So much hope to every single thing we walk away from. And these are some of the stuff that Jesus spoke about. But I know Jesus is speaking about a heart matter here. Jesus is speaking to you and me that we lay down what is important, that takes His place in our lives, and watch the fruit of what that does in your heart when you live like that. That Jesus becomes our everything. And let me tell you, changing your mind, if you are married in this room or you're even just in any relationship and someone comes and tells you you're wrong, you definitely do not celebrate it. I know it. First person that tells me I'm wrong, when Andrea tells me you were wrong in that, I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Or I tell her, no, I can explain, and I can tell her another story of whatever it is that my intention was. Or I try to correct myself very quickly, but whatever it is, I will just not go tell her, sorry, I know I was wrong, very quickly. It needs to be like Holy Spirit often will nudge me and tell me, stop it. Go back with humility, with patience and kindness, with love, with all of these attributes. Go back and say, yes, you were wrong. And I know that the changes that God points at us in us to become more like Him surely can't be easy. They can't be easy because they've made you believe this is who you are. It made you believe, you believe in it so much, so you need to stand your ground when someone is telling you you're wrong. Do you guys agree with me, or am I the only one that struggles with these things? It's hard to be told I'm wrong. It's hard to be told I've been doing it wrong. It's hard to be humble and say, Jesus, not me, but you. And my pride comes in my way of my relationship with God, and it robs me from everything. Can I ask you to close your eyes with me? And I want to start with this. If you're sitting in this room, and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, for whatever reason it is, and this morning you know in your heart that God is calling your name, you know that God is longing for a relationship with you. And if you would like to respond to that and saying, Jesus, I choose you. I choose that the day before your birthday, to say, God, I don't want tomorrow to come without knowing you. I want to know the birthday man, and I want to know that I'm invited to celebrate you because I know you. If you are sitting here and you do not know Jesus and you want to choose to follow him, can I ask you to put your hand up, because I would love to pray with you. I have not seen any hand go up, but if I have missed you, I'm sorry. Maybe you can put your hand up. There is a hand there. There's another one. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to encourage you, if you do not know what to pray, I would love to lead you in a prayer this morning. So if you do not know Jesus, and that's what you want to do this morning, to know him, to give him your life, to believe in him, have faith that what Jesus has done on the cross was enough to save you. Will you pray like that with me? Jesus, I come to you this morning repenting of my ways, of my sin, of my stubbornness, and I lay down my life and say, Jesus, have your way in my heart, in my life. The rest of my life is yours, and I thank you that you have saved me. I celebrate that you have saved me, and I am no longer the enemy's, but I'm yours forever. Amen. And now for us, if I can ask you to stand with me, please. And I know that God, when God speaks, the best response we do is that we commit our hearts to him and say, God, this is what you were saying now. This is how I want to respond. So if you feel comfortable, will you guys close your eyes with me? And if you feel God has spoken to you in one way or another this morning, I want to ask you to do this, and I don't need to know exactly what God had spoken to you this morning. But will you respond to him by lifting your hand? And stand in that posture and say, God, here I am. God knows exactly what he spoke to you personally about this morning. He knows it. He wants to hear it out of your mouth in responding to him and what now you know. Express to him what's on your heart. If you feel like you do need to make a decision, then express that to him. We're going to sing a song now together as his church. But I want, as we do that, if you have faith that you just want someone to stand with you in whatever you're trusting God for, please come and stand with us here in the front. And if any of you here in this venue are struggling with health issues or with things that you know that only God can come and bring a breakthrough in this, I want to give you an opportunity to come and stand with us. But I want you to know that we're going to pray with you, knowing that our God is so much bigger than what we can or what we know or what we are able to facilitate. It's him that does it. And out of the instruction of him, we're going to lay hands on you, knowing that in faith, something is going to take place in your heart. And I know for some of you that might feel like this would be my Christmas gift. If that breakthrough happens, if this restoration happens in my relationship with God, if this healing takes place, whatever it is, I want you to come and stand and let's pray. But I've asked the band to lead us into that last song again. And let that be the banner that's on our heart, that God, I will sing no other name but you.